session of 10767, row 5.
Mr. Joe Fitzpatrick, Reel 5. We were talking about your time at Crowborough, and I wondered how you got on with the officers in those early days, what you thought of them and what type of men they were, and how the men responded to them.
Well, the officers at Crowborough, they had a large place of their own, a big autumn product. In fact, one night it got burnt out. We all had to go on the parade ground and stand there while they were pumping water out of a little stream, but it did no good. It burned to the ground.
And how would that happen?
I suppose they were having a tot of whiskey and they struck a match, and that was that.
No one had done it deliberately?
No, nobody did do it deliberately, no. No one was stood there. Anyway, it did take long for them to get a new big hut up and everything. At the officers' quarter, they would have a special cookhouse for them, and every officer had a batman, you see, and a groom. That is the captains, the four captains that was in charge of companies. And taken as a whole, as a bunch, they were a fine lot of fellas. To me, they were.
Did you think they were competent, militarily competent?
Only to a certain extent.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they didn't contact the men enough. They didn't, you know, they just always stood aloof. And our captain wasn't too bad.
Was that Maxwell, you said?
Maxwell, yes.
What can you sort of give us a little portrait of what was he like?
Well, he was 6 foot odd, a Tasmanian, and his family was staying outside Crowborough, so he had a nice town there, but he was a decent sort of a fella.
The
one that followed on after him was Captain Vass of Old Trafford. And,
how do you spell that?
V-A-S-S. His father used to be the quartermaster of the territorials, when the lieutenant commander of the quartermaster and lieutenant before the war. And he never was intimate at all with you.
Did that make the men?
They took it with a pinch of snuff. They didn't bother to say, "Oh, that's a little bugger," you know. That's that.
So it made them less popular if they didn't make an effort, do you think?
I don't ask them to go on their knees or anything like that, but I think that they could have been more conversive with the men. As I told you before, the orders came down, and when they got to there, they were finished with. As if everybody knew, and they didn't know. The Captain Brooks that got killed at Passchendaele, he come from Hale, Cheshire. He was 28 years of age when he got killed. But he got killed because he was where he shouldn't have been, you know, in a sense of speaking. He was always up with his company. I can come to that later.
Right. What about your second lieutenants? I mean, the captains of the company. What about the second lieutenants, your platoon officers?
Well, they were in England, and they were having a bonds of time and being paid for it.
Do you remember the name of your second lieutenant at Crowborough?
No, not at Crowborough. It used to be Vash, you see. And he got, after we'd been in France a while, he got to be the captain when Maxwell went to be the colonel of the 5th, 2nd 5th, you see. No, we didn't come in contact. All with the subalterns.
Right, now you got promoted after a while. How long was it before you got promoted to Lance Corporal?
That was a result of a draft. Let me converse first with Burham. Burham, we were building we marched to through Tunbridge Wells, and then through to Tonbridge. And we put up at a high school there, and then we continued the next way to Burham.
This was in March
1916? 16, yes, correct. And we got to Burham. As I say, there was Maidstone, Rochester, Chatham, and another place 4 miles away at Kent, And we were building a line of defence, trenches, round London. And it was all chalk pits, lovely and warm, but very drying and whatnot when he was digging. And I was only up there 2 or 3 times before I was back on orderly, see. And I had an army bike there, heavy bike. And of a night time, I used to take the bag and stick it over my shoulder, get my bike, then I'd ride along the Medway River and come to a certain point, and then there was a crossing. It was a kind of a platform, and it was worked by chains. And I used to cross on that and go up the little high street, and there was a little bit of a shop, and that was the post office. And he'd say, "Here, Mum. Right, oh, sonny, right, give it me." And the van would pick it up, and it'd be in London next morning. I said, and that place was called Snodlands. And at that time, I think it was years afterwards as well, was noted for its paper mill. I said, if the tide was in, it was a tidal river, and you were wobbling along on this bike, you got through the reeds and into the river. I said, so you've got to be very, very careful. I said, but I used to enjoy it just the same. I said, and I'd dump my bike at the back of the orderly's room and go to my tent and off to bed. I said, and I didn't used to go. I used to be laying in the sunshine. I said, because the grass was there and not been muddied up at all. I said, and I got a letter from my mother saying that my stepbrother, Charlie, who was in the 2nd Manchester, was wounded and was at Deal in the coast. So I said to the regimental, "Can I have a pass there on Sunday? I want to go to Deal." I said, "I have a brother there, he's been wounded." So he said, "Certainly, Fitz," and he went and got me the pass. "There you are, and have a good day." Well, I climbed up the hill, passing these trenches, and I got onto the main road, and there was a pub there called the 7 Bells. And I was in nice time, a quarter of an hour, the bus come and drove me into Maidstone. I said, and I booked a deal, and I said, I was on the train and past Canterbury. I said, and I got the deal, and it was on the coast where the Marines barracks were. I said, it was a Stony Beach. I said, and I got there, and they were having dinner. And the major said, "Sit there." So I said, "Right, oh." She said, "He's having lunch." I thought, "Oh, you're lovely. Somebody ought to tell you." So anyway, afterwards he come out, he said, "Good Lord," he said, "how did you know I was here?" I said, "I got a letter from Mum saying that you was a deal." I said, "And the regimental let me have a pass, and I've come down to see you." And he'd got a big hole here where a shell had dropped on him.
Higher up in the forearm.
In the forearm.
Back of the forearm.
Yes. And he got discharged through it. And he was in the printing game. We sat there on the beach talking, and he was telling me all about it, you know, and whatnot. So he said, "You're lucky to be not to have been out before now, Joe." I said, "Aye." I said, "I've done it before so long," but I said, "sometimes I wish I could go with them, you know." He said, "You don't wish anything of the sort," he said, "you keep as you are." So, in an order, went back and told the regimental, I saw him, he told him he'd been wounded in the arm and that. He said, "Very good." So, in an order, we left there, and we went to Colchester. We went down from the North Station.
How long had you been at Burham then?
Oh, somewhere about three weeks or so.
So it'd still be in March or possibly April.
Yes. And we went to the end of March, and we went to Colchester, walked up Northgate and down the military road, and it's always been a military town, as Colchester, in the ancient days, when the invaders come up the River Cole. I said, so, and a very nice place, I said, and I enjoyed myself. And we got to Riddard's old camp, I said, which at the top of the road, and it was huts.
What was that again?
Reed's Hall Camp.
Reed's Hall, I think, yeah.
Reed's Hall Camp. That's right. Reed's is another place where I know. So, Reed's Hall Camp. And we did a bit of cross-country running from there. There's about nine or ten of us. And we used to do a later trail, you know, and we used to do a bit of cross-country running.
When did you actually get this promotion to Lance Corporal? Is that coming up? Sorry.
Yes. So, we had a fair time, but we weren't there very long before they kicked us on the other side of the town, on a hill called Vivernall Park. Oh, and the grass was a foot long, and all new tents and all this on the hillside. And I thought, oh, this is lovely. This is a game. This is just great. So anyhow, we went to, I was only room, and they were off, and I went with them when we went, marched up the road towards Clacton, for about 7 miles. I stood on the road, and it poured down with our ground sheets around us. Stood like this as a car come back with a flag on and an old general peering through going like this. I said, General French. I said, he'd been kicked out of France. I said, we were stood there. I said, what with water in your boots and your feet getting blistered, you know, your heels and all that. There was no need to. So anyhow, that was the only thing that I did there, and then I was on the orderly room again.
Did you want promotion? Did it ever occur to you? Because you were...
Any road, one day, the MO come, and he'd been out, and he'd come back early. Attended with the horse, Fitz. He called me Fitz. His name was Fitzgerald. He said... I said, does he want water? I said, you can try him. Well, he got on his back, you know, and he slid it down this hill to the trough, and it poured down. Oh, thunderstorm. And got there, it just sniffed at the water and walked away. So I put him back again and tied him up and took his saddle off and put it on the beam. I said, and I left it there, he was all right. And I said, I got wet through, I said, through fancying a ride. So Eddie Road, he said, after that, we sent a big draft out, and I went and had medical attention and teeth. And I was ready to go on this draft. So the regimental sergeant major said to me, how many brothers has your mother got in the army, Fitz? I said, we're all in the army now, sir. My younger brother's in now. So he said, oh, I said, that's six of us. Just a minute. So he went to see the colonel. And the colonel says, yes, strike him off. He said, you're not going on this draft. And I was disappointed, and I wasn't in the centre speaking. He said, oh. He said, your mother's got enough in the front line without you going. So I did on. I said, OK, sir. So a bit after, he said, will you take a strap? I said, yes, sir.
Now, this was a draft from the 2nd 6th. Who were they being sent to join?
Eddie Tondekinderry.
So they were being broke, that was just used as a draft. They weren't going to the 1st 6th then?
No, because the 1st 6th wasn't, it was in Gallipoli then.
Right. So the 2nd 6th carried on. In Colchester.
We were just a feeding division.
So he said to you, he was asking you about whether you fancied a stripe. Sorry, yeah. I interrupted.
I said, yes. Yes, sir. I love a stripe. So I got one up. So I was a Dunfermline Lance Corporal.
Did that change things for you, being a Lance Corporal?
Well, it helped me on the way, really. It helped me on the way.
How?
Well, you see, the point is that they never sent any NCOs out with the draft because they'd already got their own NCOs in France. You see, you didn't take anybody else's place. You see, or that you weren't overmanned as regards status. So, any road, I took the stripe, and of course the camp was empty. They were waiting for a load to come in.
How many had they sent out then?
Oh, they practically took the brigade, you know, in bunches.
So that was after
the Somme, you know.
So this would be after July?
Yeah.
And they took just about all of the 2nd and 6th. But what you were with was still called the 2nd and 6th?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, I was stuck right throughout.
And what were the new drafts like when you got them?
A lot of them shouldn't have been in the army.
Why was that?
Well, because they're too old, really.
How old's too old?
Well, I mean, say 35 and going up for 40 is too old. And then the stature of them.
What problems did that
The stature give you? Of them and the physique of them wasn't the same, you know. It was all punishment for them.
What problems did that give them in their training?
Well, they did the best. They did the best. I used to feel a bit sorry for them, but they did the best. It had to be done, and that was that. But I used to take my platoon, the platoon, I used to take with the lads onto the parade ground. It was a big field, flattened out, you know. And I used to get them on saluting and marching and right wheel, left wheel, on the left form platoon, on the so-and-so. But before that, before we got this intake, there was a young Scottish officer and he was limping, he'd been wounded, and he'd come to the brigade, and he was taking all the brigade NCOs, you see. So you've got the company regimental sergeant major, company sergeant major, and somewhere about 10 or 15 NCOs, you see, each, you see, 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th, you see, and there's quite a bunch. So he said, I'm going to put you through your paces, which I hope you will take benefit of. And he did do, and then on the Monday, and then on the Friday, he said, come on. On the Friday night, he said, I want to volunteers to come out and drill the squad. So my regiment had come along the line and nobody had offered. So, what about you, Fitz? I said, yes, sir.
And you were still just a Lance Corporal?
Unpaid. So I didn't know, I said, yes, sir. Oh, good lad. Well, there was only one out of our battalion, and there were about 9 of us, 8 sergeants and myself. And we stood in a ring and saluted him. You see, he took his time from the right-hand man and saluted him, and he explained that he wanted it detailed and put into action and detailed and brought back again, you see. So he called on a sergeant, and I said, after he'd done it, he's done good there. He's done very good, you know, me saying that. So any road, when he'd done, he said, Corporal, I said, no for it. He said, looked at me, you know, no one who looked like a kid, you know, and had a squeaky voice. He said, I want you to do so, detail it, and bring them back, and detail it. So I did all that. As I left him, I wet my hand at my right hand, and I'm feeling for the wind. And I got the wind behind me, good position, and then I told them what I wanted, detail it to them, and then give the order, see? And if one said it, come to Sergeant Major in the wrong place, I said, Sergeant Major? He should have been at the other side, you see. not on taking the mickey out of him, but he realised he was out of position. And then I detailed it again and brought them back. So I went to him, he said, do so and so and so. And he gave me three jobs altogether, and I detailed it. So I did order, went back to him. And then further, sir, he said, no, he said, that was excellent. You know, he said, my, that was very, very good. So I said, thank you, sir. He said, now your number and rank. I said, 251043, Lance Corporal Unpaid, J. Fitzpatrick. Number one, A Company, 66th Battalion. Very good boy, very good. Good luck. That's Liberty. Went back on the outside, it made a week to me. Good, you know, good lad. See? But the really dead man, you see, I got the gist of it, you see. So I did order. That was on the Friday night. Sunday night, brigade orders. I recommended NCO's course. Sergeant so-and-so, Sergeant so-and-so, Lance Corporal J. Fitzpatrick. And I was put on pay then.
You were paid as Lance Corporal?
3 times a day extra. Yeah.
Who was this Scottish officer?
I don't know him.
You say he put you through your paces before this testing. What what was being put through your paces? What sort of thing was he
different
trying
positions.
Drill positions?
Drill positions, yes.
Was it more advanced or just revision?
Well, a lot of these positions they'd never done before, you see. If they had done, well, it was repeated. It was necessary, you see. It was necessary. Oh, yes, he was very good. And so I was the only one in our battalion out of all these feather pluckers.
So what was your job as Lance Corporal day to day?
You were right hand man, and that's all.
Of the side?
Marker. What they call a marker.
Of the platoon?
Aye, falling down the marker, you
Would
see.
You still live in the hut?
Eh?
Would you still be in the hut with the others?
We were in tents.
Sorry, the tents, yes. Would you be with the ordinary privates, or would you be with... When they went...
Nearly every NCO had a tent to himself till the others flocked in, and then you'd be with the privates. Eh? Perhaps.
Did it change the way you were with the ordinary men, with the privates being a. I know you were only a Lance Corporal,
yeah.
But did it change the way you chatted to them? Or?
No, I never. I never adopted that cocky idea. I never felt that, come on, you, or anything like that, because I had sympathy for some of them. Others were excellent fellas, physique and all, but they were calling up Tom, Dick and Harry then, because the fodder had got short of fodder. And it was the elderly that I felt sorry for, but still, they did the best, and a lot of them stayed with us for quite a long while, until they got... gassed later on.
So what happened now? You're moving through 1916.
So at...
At Colchester.
Yes, we stayed up at Wivenhoe Park, and we didn't move out till a fortnight before Christmas.
That's December 1916?
Yes. And a fortnight before Christmas, so we're up to our knees in mud. And,
was it not had the you were in tents? Had that winter not been a bit hard in the tents?
It was murder. It was like you could have done better without a tent. In a sense of speaking, you're up to your knees in mud, what with trampling and thunderstorms and whatnot. And at last they moved us down into the town. And there was a Corporal Shattleton, he come from Rochdale, he was getting elderly on. And we were billeted down on the North Gate side in a house, a couple. And we were only down there a couple of weeks before we were moved back to our platoon. And they were in Trinity Street, opposite the Trinity Church, 100 yards away from the town hall.
They were in the church or in a building opposite
the church? In a house, empty house, a big empty house opposite the church. And it's only 100 yards away from across the road to the town hall. And we were sleeping in different rooms. And it wasn't so bad then, and I used to line them up, and I used to take the RCs to Mass on a Sunday. I said, which at that time was pretty pleasant. I said, and there was two sergeants who used to come with us. And
did you have many RCs?
It was quite a few, quite a few. With one Jew, he used to take a walk round town till the Mass was over, then march back with us. And it wasn't very far. And before Mass started, there used to be a lady named Mary somebody at the church, St. Mary's Church, and she used to play opera. And my favourite tune used to be Cavalier Rusticano. And every time I hear it, I just always think about her. She was very nice. Then, of course, Mass would start, and of course the church would be full, and then we'd disappear, march back to your billet, and the rest of the day was your own then. You could do what you wanted, go in the park of the castle, that was very nice. I said that after about a week or two, I said there was a young lady who worked at a milliner's on the high street, and the bat used to come to the street where we were, and I used to see her, and of course I met her one day and introduced myself. I said she was my friend while I was there then. I said she's a very, 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 very nice person. And I told her, I said, I don't think anything will come of this, because I've got a mother and I must say that she's all right. She said, I understand. And when I was away, she wrote me, sent me cigarettes, jumbo, and Harrison's pomade for the lice. I said, I was free of them. I said, and she was very nice indeed, and we were very, very pleasant hours together. Very pleasant.
Generally, did you get on well with the civilians in Colchester? Because it was an old army.
Well, you see, they're used to the army. You see, different army people had been coming and going, so it just made no difference, did it? I mean, see, it was trade for the chops and all that. See,
there was no trouble.
We went to a show now and again. The patrol was frontally next door to the town hall. And we used to go there just on other occasions. And then we used to go nice long walks and everything.